will in his way, because he's such an awesome God. Anybody know that God is awesome? Come on, he's an awesome God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey. Oh, yes, he is. Listen. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weak, and forever he will reign. Y'all help me say that.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain.
My God is
awesome. Heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weak, forever he will reign.
Let's do that again. Do that again.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain.
Oh, my God
is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken,
strength where I've been weak.
My God is awesome.
Come on, if you believe that, say it with us.
Awesome.
Do you believe that this morning?
Awesome.
Hey, he is
awesome.
My God is
awesome.
He's awesome in every way. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
He's awesome and awesome, God.
Awesome.
My God is
awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
He's an awesome God. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, yes, he is.
Awesome.
Say it again. My God is
awesome.
Say, he's a mountain mover. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
He's a way maker. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Hey.
Awesome.
Go to the verse. My God is awesome, Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation. By his stripes I am.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. By his care I am living. Praise his holy name.
Come on, here we go. My God,
my God is awesome.
Said my God is awesome.
Awesome.
Come on, wave your hand if you know he is
awesome.
My God, yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, he's awesome, yeah.
Awesome.
He can move everything for you.
Awesome.
He can be your provider for you, yeah.
Awesome.
God is
awesome.
Everybody know that he's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty. He's mighty.
Awesome.
Do you know he is
awesome?
Come on, can you say this right here? Say he's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy. Yeah.
Awesome.
Say God is
awesome.
Do you believe this morning? Say he's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He is great.
Awesome.
Say my God, yes he is.
Awesome.
Hey, help me say this. Say he's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty. Say
awesome.
Say God is
awesome.
Somebody out here might know him as a deliverer. God is
awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Hey, sir, he's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy. He's holy. God is
awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Come on, you might know him as a provider.
Provider.
A provider.
Provider.
A provider.
A provider.
God is
awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Oh, you might see him as a protector.
Protector.
A protector.
Protector.
Has he been there for you?
Protector.
Protector. God is
awesome.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Awesome.
Hey, my God is
awesome.
He can move
mountains.
Oh, yes, he can.
Keep me in the valley.
Oh.
Hide me from the rain.
Yes, you will.
My God
is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Praise his holy name. Come on, if you love him, give him praise. Come on, if you love him, go ahead and call out the name of Jesus. Let him know how awesome he is. Oh, you're awesome, God. You're awesome, God. You're an awesome God. I know it's not my way, but your way, God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, you're in this place today, and we know it. We sense that you're about to do something. When we can't see our way through, we can praise our way through. Because you're the God who can move mountains. I just pray, God, right now that like you did way back then, when your glory filled the temple, that your glory will fill this place. Take control of every mind. Take control of every heart. Take control of each of us today. Hide this lump of clay behind your cross. And God, we just want you to have your way. We give you permission to do whatever needs to be done to save us, to deliver us, to provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, isn't he awesome? Give him praise, give him praise. Hallelujah. I want to thank Soulful Praise and our praise team. Just the ministry today has been truly, we know that God is here. That's all I can say. Amen. I'm going to ask my ushers to pass out the handouts at this time. If you haven't done so yet, we want to make sure that everybody has a handout. This entire month of August, we are focusing on worship. Amen. Our theme for this month is deeper. Somebody say deeper.
Deeper.
We want to have a deeper knowledge and a deeper understanding and a deeper experience with God. And if you want to have a deeper relationship with God, you've got to enter into the experience of worship. Amen? And so that's what we're trying to facilitate during this month and beyond as we continue on this journey together with God. They're passing out these handouts, and they're for you to keep and just follow along in the service today and make notes on or whatever it is that you need to do so that this experience will not be lost on you. I want to, again, thank our worship coordinators, Sister Makia Crom and Chaplain Brooks. Amen. Sister Tamika Han. I don't know if Tamika's here, but we thank our team for leading. And next Sabbath, I should say that Chaplain Brooks will be speaking. Amen. Amen. And we know that God is going to do some mighty things through him at that time. While they're passing these out, I just want to say a couple other things real quick. Again, our school is getting ready to start on Monday. Good to see Dr. Lusane here, our principal, as well as our CDC. They've been going all summer long. And our director, Sister Daphne Henderson. Let's continue to lift up our academy and our Child Development Center in your prayers. Amen? As they begin a new school year, we're looking forward to great things. We want to remember also our Brother Williamson, Fred Williamson, lost his father this week. Let's continue to lift him up in prayer as well. Amen. Amen. One other thing also, the Cook family, let's remember them as well. They're in transition. Let's pray. They get the breakthrough. We know that the breakthrough is here. Amen. Amen. So we're thanking God in advance for that. But we need the prayers of the saints. Amen. 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 Last week, we began with the subject, created to worship. Amen. We told you that the need to worship is built right into us. Amen? Just as a chair is made for sitting, shoes are made for walking, a car is made for driving, so we were created to worship. I just said something very profound. I said it simply, but it is profound. We're going to unpack this thing. Because God is doing some things in me, and I believe he's doing some things here at Ephesus as well. You see, knowing what something is made for gives it purpose. A lot of people are lost today, and this is what loss is truly all about, because they don't understand their purpose. If you don't understand your purpose, you're lost. We don't know why we're here, and if you don't know this simple truth, that you're created to worship, then you end up worshiping all kinds of things and people that are not deserving of worship, that are not worthy of worship. And whenever you worship any person or anything that is not God, that is called idolatry. Are y'all with me? Idolatry. I know that whenever we think about idolatry, we think about primitive peoples worshiping wood and stone and trees and water. That's what we think about, or other objects that they're fashioned with their hands. And we say, well, you know, our culture, our society, we're more advanced, we're more sophisticated than that. Well, not so fast. Let's take a look. Let's take a look. I found this online.
I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics, and they were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. See, they were worshipers of idols. And they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They even made sacrifices to their idols. But they had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seems like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics, and they were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. See, they were worshippers of idols. And they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They even made sacrifices to the idols. but they had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seems like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these...
I think we can. We might be able to relate. What do you say? Our idolatry might not look exactly like it did in Bible times, or even in other cultures far away. But if you understand that idolatry is simply an excessive devotion to any person or thing other than God, then we all might just be guilty of flirting with idolatry. If there is something or some person to whom you give an excessive amount of your time, money, or energy, you just might be guilty of flirting with idolatry. If you give a lot of money to some celebrity, collect their memorabilia, and plaster their pictures all over your room, spend hours upon hours listening to their music, following them on Twitter, wearing a t-shirt with their face on it, or if you get steeped in depression when they die, like many people did when this guy died, if you not yet. Talk to me, somebody. Do you think we might have a problem? Just a little problem. What do you think? With idolatry. You see, idolatry begins with the letter I. It's not about God. It's about us. It's about me. It's about the big I. We have a whole show today in America called American Idol. See, I'm just trying to wonder with you. Can we just talk today? Do you think we might have a problem If I'm stepping on your toes right now, just say, ouch. See, if you don't know, if you don't know and acknowledge God as God, then you will worship something else, because we were created to worship. I'm going to make it clear as we go along. That's a fact. I don't care who you are. You're going to worship something or somebody, or you're going to worship the true and living God. You're going to worship. Oh, yes, you will. You will. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. If you're an alcoholic, then alcohol has become your God. If you're addicted to sex and pornography, then sex and pleasure has become your God. It controls your life. If you're a glutton, then food has become your God. If you're always at work and you can't find time for nothing else but work, then money and work has become your God. You see, if man is not going to worship God, then he will worship something else and it will become his God. It will dictate his life. It will control his life. It will dictate his time. And the problem with these other gods is that they're not perfect. They will let you down. They will disappoint you. They do not endure forever. They will pass away. And when you're in trouble, they have no power to help you. They cannot save you. They cannot deliver you. Which leads us to our question for today. Why worship God? That's what we want to talk about. See, first of all, we worship him because he is. Somebody say he is. That's it. Now, you can add something to that. You can say he is the only true God. But God simply is. See, in heaven, the problem got started in heaven. Devil started feeling his oats. He said, he looked at God, and he said, God, I want to be God. Read it in Isaiah chapter 14. He said, I will sit upon the sides in the congregation of the north. I will have a throne myself. I want to be God. And God had to kick him out of heaven. Give him the boot. See, you know, when you were growing up and you started feeling your oats. You remember that? A mama said, two women can't live under the same roof. You remember that? You remember that? Daddy said, two men can't live under the same roof. If you're grown, then you got to go. God said, devil, there's no room for, there's only one God up in here. If you think you're God, then you got to go. And he lost his place in heaven, and thus began what we call the great controversy. The great conflict. Between God and Satan, between good and evil, between light and darkness, between truth and error, the great controversy. And understand, church, that at the heart, at the center, at the foundation of this great controversy is this issue we call worship. Satan wants to be God, and God says there's only one God. When he came here, he tempted the first man, the first woman. What was his temptation? God is trying to hold back something from you. But if you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be as God. So he wants to be God and we want to be God. And God says there's only one God. That's a problem. Somebody said that's a problem. When Jesus finally showed up many years later, in the wilderness, the devil comes to tempt him. And, you know, he tells him first, turn these stones into bread. Then he tells him to throw himself down, right? And then the final temptation. And this is the one that the devil was really trying to get to. He said, Jesus, just forget about those last two, but this is the one I really want. This is what I really want. Jesus, let me show you all the kingdoms of the earth. I'll give them to you if you do one thing. It's right there in your outline. Let's look at it.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this will I give you, he said, if you do what? Bow down and do what? Worship me. Jesus said to him what? Away with me, Satan, for it is written, worship the who, everybody? The Lord your God, and do what? God says there's only one God, and that God alone is deserving of our worship and service. Come on, say amen. And here's another one also in your outline. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? Compare me that we may be like. Remember the former things of old, for I am what? And there is what? I am God, and there is what? None like me. God says there is no other God. There is no other. I'm it. But you say, wait a minute now. God, how do we know that? How do we know that you're the only God? Just because you stand up and you say, you're God. How do we know you're it? That's a good question. And God says, fair enough. If there's another God, then produce him. We've been around now for 6,000 years. God says, if there is another God, then produce him. Let him show up. Matter of fact, just before Moses was about to die, he called the people of God together and he had a final conversation, a final talk with them before he was about to depart from them. He called them together and he warned them against idolatry and he reminded them that they need to serve the only true and living God. And how did he establish in their minds that God was indeed God? He reminded them of what God had done for them. And we read about it here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's also in your outline. And he says, ask now about the former days, about the past, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation? Has any God ever tried to deliver over 1 million people out of slavery and brought them out by raining plagues and destruction upon a heathen nation? He said, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Beside him, there is no other. We worship God today because he's the only true and living God. All other gods are therefore not true, and some of them are not even alive. They're gods of our own making. It is laughable to worship a God that you made with your own hands. And the Lord pokes fun at his people in Isaiah chapter 46. Look at it again, following your outline. He pokes fun at them. He says, some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. Imagine a god who can't walk by himself. God is showing the ridiculousness, the foolishness of worshiping an idol. You come to this idol asking it to help you, and it can't even help itself. They set it up in its place and it stays there. It can't move, can't do anything, can't save them from their troubles. Imagine worshiping such a God. And yet how different are we today when we put our trust in things or people that can't even help themselves, much less save or help us. These people that we put our trust in at times don't even know us. But we worship them. We're in awe of them. They are gods of our own making. But there is a God who is in a position to help us when we're in trouble because he actually made us. And this brings us to our second reason for worshiping God today. And that is simply that he made us. Can somebody say he made us? Look how the Bible begins in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. Do you see that? In the beginning, God. That's an amazing way to introduce oneself. God doesn't tell us where he came from, how he got here. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody walked up to me one day and said, Pastor, it takes a whole lot of faith for you to believe in such a God. I mean, what evidence do you have of the existence of God? It requires a whole lot of faith. I say, well, that's true. It does require a whole lot of faith. The Bible says he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See, I wasn't there when God created. I wasn't there when he spake and it was done. I wasn't there when God commanded and it stood fast. And you weren't either. So it requires faith. But you know what? I've learned not to let anybody back me into a corner. You roll up in my face asking me, well, it requires faith. I'll say to you, it requires even more faith for you not to believe in God. It requires even more faith for you to believe in the theory of evolution. The last time I checked, a theory, the definition is a hypothesis. A hypothesis is an educated guess. It is something that has not yet and indeed cannot be proven conclusively. That's why they call it a theory. So it takes more faith for you to believe in that than for me to believe that God spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And you can believe all you want that foolishness. And I call it foolishness because the word of God says, he that believeth that there, he that says there is no God is a fool. A fool. I said it. Now, you say, oh, Pastor Russell, you call me a fool? No, I'm not calling you a fool. God's calling you a fool. He that says in his heart there is no God is a fool. It's just like somebody walking up in here and just looked at this and said, well, you know what? I think several years ago, some stones fell from the sky and just blew up and just started, you know, building on top of each other, and you have this marvelous structure. That's how it happened. See, that's why God says you're a fool. Because when you look at this here, you see symmetry. You see order. Come on, say amen. You see design. You see intentionality. The colors are coordinated between the colors on the carpet and the floor, the upholstery in the pews. You come up here and you see you got three ferns over here and you got three over here. Now, how did they get here? They just kind of walked up in here and then positioned themselves? That's why God says you're a fool. You got to be a fool. Because even the Hubble telescope and these things that they're able to peer into the heavens now. And they tell us, the scientists tell us, that their systems, watch their words now, not my words, it's their words. That their systems, solar systems. A system is something that has order. The planets are not all over in some chaos colliding into each other, but there is an order, and they discern that they're not just thousands or millions or billions, but there's so many galaxies and so many systems that we have not yet the numbers to count to them. If we look at our human body, everything in nature has order and consistency that speaks to the fact that there was, there is an intelligent designer, an intelligent creator, a God behind it all. Come on, say amen out there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. People may debate it, doubt it, question it, all they want, but it doesn't change the fact that God made everything. Over and over again, he tells us in his word that he made everything and is therefore deserving of our worship. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. You are worthy, it's in your handout. You're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? Because you've created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. And I saw another angel in the book of Revelation, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Come and worship him, worship him, worship him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. In these last days, that's why it's written in the book of Revelation, because we have a problem today as we near the end of time with idolatry. But God is looking for worshipers in these last days, true worshipers who will acknowledge him as the Creator God. And the sign of that true worship is that God gave his people at the very beginning of time, right after he had made the world, something called the Sabbath. Go back and read about it, Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And God forever enshrined this day, this memorial, in the heart of the Ten Commandments. In your lesson outline, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy sons, nor thy daughters, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We worship God because he is Creator. Somebody say amen. We are the creatures. We are created. It makes no sense to worship something that is less than yourself or at best equal to you, whether it's a thing or a person. Why not worship the God who created you, the God who made you and blessed you with all the abilities and the gifts and the talents and the resources that you possess? Too often we end up worshiping the gift rather than the giver, the creature rather than the creator. And when you do that, you lower yourself and you become less than what you can be. See, that's why, that's the reason why this thing called worship is so deep. And it's so important, because we become like what we worship. You see, worship leads to imitation, which leads me to my third point, why we worship God. And that is because God is holy. Somebody say he's holy. He's holy. We worship him because he is holy. This thing called worship is awesome. Be careful what you worship, because you become like what you worship. You see, what you and I have to understand today is that God doesn't need us to worship him. Let me repeat that. God does not need us to worship him. He is not on some ego trip. You all better worship me so I can feel like God. No, he's not. No, our worship doesn't make him God. We worship him because he is God. You see, worship is a response to someone or something that we deem beyond us or above us. We give that person or thing honor, homage, respect. We are in awe. We are in admiration. You saw some of that just a little bit earlier. And when we ask us to just give God some praise. We ask us to stand up in the presence of God. If a judge is in the house, president is in the house, all right. See, when you're in awe or admiration about something or somebody, the next thing is that you want to be like that thing or person. That's why I said to us earlier that you need to be careful who you worship or what you worship, because worship leads to imitation. See, that's the reason why people buy the clothes. That's the reason why we wear the T-shirt. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the pictures and the posters in the room. That's why we sing the songs. Without even realizing it, you're taking in the spirit. You're taking in the spirit of the person or the thing you're worshiping. You're becoming like them. It's interesting to me, you know. I see people wearing stuff around that an entertainer wears while they're on stage. Now, if you see the entertainer, they're dressed normal, just like everybody else, but they're followers. They're fans. By the way, do you know what the word fan means? It means fanatic. It's short for fanatic. Look it up. Short for fanatic. The celebrity walks around wearing normal clothes, but they're devotees. They're followers. They're fans. Walk around dressed like they're on stage. Dressed like they're in a performance, looking like a walking Christmas tree. We become like what we worship. Look what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 1. Look what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 1. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their errors. What we see happening today around us in our nation is but the outworking of our reluctance to worship the true and living God. That's what it is. History has a way of repeating itself. We see the same things happen in all other cultures just before they came to an end. It even happened to the people of God. Whenever the people of God fell into idolatry, it was always marked by a time of unbridled wickedness. That's what happens when you worship the creature rather than the Creator. We become like what we worship because worship leads to imitation. So why worship God? So we can become like Him. And who is He? He is holy. See, the word holy means He is perfect. There is no sin. There is no darkness. There is no flaw. There is no fault in God. There is no wickedness or evil in God. He is righteous. He is pure. He is just. He is good. God is so perfect and so awesome in His perfection that there are mighty six-winged angels in His presence worshiping Him night and day who declare, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Each of these four living creatures, the Bible says, look at it in your handout. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings, day and night. They never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They cannot stop crying. They've got the same song. If you walk up on angel number one and you say to him, "Angel number one, what you got to say?" He's going to say, "Holy." If you walk up on angel number two and you say, "What you got to say about God?" He's going to say, "Holy." If you walk up on angel number three and you say, "What are you going to say about God?" He's going to say, "Holy." You see why? Because when they look at God, and God flashes His righteousness, they look at each other and they say, "Man, how do we describe that?" And they say, "Holy." And then they look at another side of God, and God flashes His love, and they say, "Man, how do we describe that?" And they say, "Holy." And they look at one side of God, and God flashes His grace, and they turn to each other and say, "How do we describe that?" And they say, "Holy, holy, 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 holy. Day and night." He was holy yesterday. He's still holy today. And he will be holy forever. He was holy a second ago. He's holy right now. And he'll be holy the next second. He was holy then, and he'll always be holy. It is in worship that God, it is in worship that God can do things in us. That he cannot otherwise do. The one who benefits the most from worship is not God, because you can't change God's status. You can't improve God. God is the epitome, the sum total. He is holy. But you and I need to be transformed. You and I need to be changed. And it happens when we enter into that worship experience. We are changed. You cannot step into the presence of God and truly experience worship and leave the same way you came. When Moses spent time with God and he came down from that mountain, the word of God says when the people looked at him, his face shone with a glory, with an effulgent light. They said, Moses, we can't look at you. You need to cover your face. Moses had spent time worshiping God, and it transformed him. So the Apostle Paul says, it is by beholding that we're changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why I'm saying to you, be careful what you worship. Be careful where you spend time. Be careful what you're looking at, because you become like what you worship. Worship leads to imitation. Bible says after the disciples had spent time with Jesus, and they went out to talk to the people, the word is that the people took note that these men had been with Jesus. Spending time with him does something to you. Yes, sir. Paul could declare, it's in your outline, he could declare in 1 Corinthians, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's all about imitation. It's about a change in our lives. It's about us becoming more and more like him. And it can only happen when we spend time in intentional worship. Can you say amen? Can you put your hands together and give God some praise today? You spend time with him, you become like him. And now you're ready for the last reason why we worship God. And that is that God is our Redeemer. He's the only true and living God. He is the Creator. He is holy. And finally, he is our Redeemer. Now, let me tell y'all something. I can give you 1,000 reasons why we worship God. But certainly we will spend the rest of the year unpacking all of those reasons. So I've just chosen these 4 today. He is our Redeemer. To redeem something is to buy it back. Now, if you're into buying and selling real estate, you know that sometimes you can go to the steps of the courthouse and buy a house that's being auctioned off because somebody didn't pay their taxes. Or you can buy a house that's being foreclosed and it's a steal and a deal. But there's often a clause in small print. They call that clause the redemption clause. It means that even after you bought that house and you deed it, the owners can come back and reclaim that property. You better read the fine print. If they can come up with the money to pay it off or to pay them taxes, back taxes, whatever, and make you whole, then they can redeem and reclaim their property. But here's another reason why we worship God, because he redeemed us. Look in your handout. It says, then I looked. Somebody say, I looked. and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne. This is John now. He's in vision here in the book of Revelation. And the living creatures and the elders, in a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature, every creature, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Glory to God. We worship him, yes, because he is God. And there's no other. We worship him because he is creator, because he's holy, but also because he's our redeemer. He redeemed us from bondage. He redeemed us from the curse of sin. He redeemed us from certain destruction. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. When we weren't fit to live and we weren't fit to die, he redeemed us. He paid the price as the pianist comes to play. And Peter said, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you and I were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So I can sing today, "I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed." Oh, you can talk about me just as much as you please, but I'll talk about you down on my knees. Why? Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Is anybody in here redeemed today? Give God some praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed, let me hear you shout hallelujah. If you've been redeemed, let me hear you shout glory. You see, the devil thought he had us, but he didn't read the fine print. You know, people like to say, "Read it. Because the devil is in the details." I want to let you know, God is in the details too. Yeah, devil didn't read the fine print. Though lost to God because of our disobedience, God in his mercy had written into this thing a redemption clause. And that redemption clause allowed him to buy us back. See, God had first rights to us. Y'all not listening to me today. God had first rights to us. The owner always has first rights. And God was willing to pay that price to reclaim us, to redeem us on a cruel cross on Calvary, to save a wretch like you and a wretch like me. He paid the price, and now we are free. We can worship him because he paid the price. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches and glory and honor and power and praise. Let me tell you something else about this Lamb. Oh, he's coming back again. And the Bible tells me this: when he comes back, it says that every knee, well, every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is God. Do you know what that means? It means when he comes, the devil's knee is going bow. When he comes, Hitler's knee is going bow. When he comes, Michael Jackson's knee is going bow. Oh yeah, every knee. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what it is today is that either we're going to worship him willingly and consciously and out of love and gratitude for all that he has done in making us and in redeeming us? Or are we going to worship him one day by force? We're going to be forced to acknowledge that he is indeed God. If we have any worshipers in this house today who just want to worship him all the days of your life, I'm going to invite you to stand with me right now. You want to worship him all the days of your life while you have breath in your body. I want to worship him because I'm living on his breath. And the least I can say is thank you, Lord. You just allowed me to breathe another second. Thank you, Lord. You woke me up this morning. If you don't have any other reason to give him thanks or to give him praise, just do like the old folk would say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Or like a brother I heard pray the other day when pastors got together at camp meeting. Lord, thank you for waking me up and that I'm not on my cooling board. I understand that's a southern thing.
To worship
not on your cooling
board. I live.
Give him thanks. Give him praise.
To worship you.
I want to open up the doors of the church today, right now.
To worship
somebody
you.
Wants to become a worshiper. You're not yet a worshiper. You've not yet made a commitment to Jesus Christ.
To worship
accepted him
you.
As your I Savior live. And your Lord.
To worship
I want to call you right now in this place
live,
at this time. This is your moment. Come. Turn it over to him. You want a change in your life. You want a transformation in your soul. It happens in worship. And I'm calling you right now. This is your moment. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Surrender. Turn it over to him. Come right now. I call you in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I see you coming. Somebody else wants to say yes to God. Yes to Jesus Christ. Yes to his love. Yes to his grace. Yes to his mercy. Worship him all the days of your life. It begins today with a simple decision. Yes. God bless you.
To worship you, I live.
Come by baptism, by transfer,
to worship
by profession of fellowship.
Live.
The doors are open to you right now.
To worship you.
We were created to worship. We worship him because he is God and there is none other.
I live.
There is none other.
To worship you.
And not only is he God, but he's good.
Worship
I'm glad about it. He's mighty. He's powerful. He's awesome. But he's good. He's kind. He's gracious. And he loves you so much that God was willing to stoop, to condescend, to humble himself, and to bleed on a cross. Man, that's a God I want to serve. That's a God I want to live for. That's a God I want to love. That's a God I'll give my life for. And you need to do it today. You have a baptism in a week or two. You want to get ready for that baptism. Or maybe you're saying, I want to get with one of the elders of the church and I want to begin that journey to understand how I can walk with the Lord, how I can get to know this God who loves me so much. I invite you to come. Come. This is your moment. This is your time. Don't leave this place the same way you came. Don't let this moment pass you by. You need to come. Somebody else need to come. This is your moment. This is your time. The hand of God is stretched out towards you. This is your moment. Somebody else. Say yes to him. Say yes. God bless you. I see you coming. I see you coming. Don't worry about who's looking. And that's not their business. This is between you and the Lord. There's nothing more important right now than you making a decision where your soul is going
to
spend eternity. You need to come. You need to come. You need to do it. In this moment, in this hour, it's pregnant with possibility, pregnant with a miracle. It happens when you begin to worship him, when you begin to trust him with everything, your mind, your heart, your body. Trust him with that addiction. Trust him with that habit. Turn it over to him.
To worship
let him be God.
I live.
Surrender it to Him. Let Him be God. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed.